All right, Jeff, now I got stuff over here, but if you'll let me talk about it. A lot's been going on in Nicholasville. I've been
in the news. I've been on TV.
News, and I've been on the front page of the paper, local paper
here. I'm so famous now because my brother is a local celebrity.
I am. I mean, it's really beginning to get a little comical.
Thank you for listening to the Fields Brothers Show.
Well, I'm Roger Fields here with my brother Jeff. We are at Moonlight Fields Event Venue in Central Kentucky, where we're two recovering pastors with no known history of scandal. Actually, I got to say, no history of scandal. Your mom gets upset with me when I say that. No known history, as if there's some scandal we've been covering up or something, you know. So, anyway, no history. And we God's taken us on different paths and different, we're not pastoring local churches. We still kind of have ministries in a way, but we're just, we don't get paid for it. And so, which is probably a good thing. And speaking of that, don't send money to the podcast. We don't sell advertising. We don't accept donations. If you send us money, we're probably not going to send it back, but Jeff will spend on golf. I'll probably spend someplace like Cracker Barrel. So anyway, Jeff, anything going on your side of town there?
I want to, I mentioned this to you, and I already sent this to you, you and Mom in a text a week or two ago. I wish now I hadn't, so you'd be hearing it for the first time. So you've already heard this, but it's still, I think this is one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time.
All right, go ahead.
About my grandson, Denver.
Yeah.
So grandson Denver just turned 4 years old, and I have permission to share this on the podcast. He's in a preschool program, and he comes home one day with a piece of paper, they go to pick him up, and he has with him a piece of paper that says incident report. So there was an incident during
the preschool. It's like a police report or something.
It is kind of the preschool version of a police report. And so I'm looking at the copy of it here on my phone. So at the top it says incident report. Child, Denver Fields. Date. It has the date. Has the time. 4:26 p.m. It does sound like a police report. Location.
How old is Denver now?
He's
four?
He turned four just a few days after this. Okay. So he was almost four happened. Location, room C. You know, I hadn't really, just now I'm just noticing how much it is like a police report. So it's got his name, the date, the exact time, the location. Then the next section, nature of incident. So now he's going to describe exactly what happened. A kid asked Denver for a hug, and Denver tackled him to the floor.
Well, that's probably not the response the kid was looking for, you know. So
steps taken is the next section. Steps taken. Separated. Explain to Denver why we cannot do that. Comments. Denver said he was practicing for football. So some kid comes up to Denver preschool.
Oh, boy.
Can I have a hug? Denver tackles the kid to the floor, and then the kid, I guess, got upset.
Okay,
and,
well.
And they separated him, and they explained to Denver, you can't do that. And he said he was just practicing
for football. Does he have a manager yet? I'd like to be his agent, agent.
Yeah, someone told me that. A friend of mine said I need to call Mark Stoops, and our local UK University of Kentucky football coach. But that'll teach them to mess with the Fields boys, though, around town. So that's the next generation, and maybe he'll have his own Fields brothers. And he has a brother. So anyway, I just thought that was hilarious.
Well, I don't know about your side of town, but things are pretty rowdy on my side of town in Nicholasville. Am I allowed to talk about this? Do I have free reign?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I've mentioned before, we've got this Facebook group. It's not a page. It's a group called What's Happening in Nicholasville. And so we try to do, and I've done this a couple times before, if I hear a new business coming to town or something, I just make the announcement on there. Now, this page grows, you got to realize, it grows at almost 100 people a day. It's just going crazy wild. There's over 19,000 people on it. Now, and there's about 200 posts a day on this group. I mean, it is nonstop.
Oh, that's a full-time job for you, just monitoring the thing.
It's become a full-time job for Lori, and we have three other monitors now. There's five of us.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We had to recruit other people to help monitor it. We keep outside businesses from posting their businesses on this page. We say it's non-toxic and hyper-local. And then, you know, if anybody does anything, it's, you know, we don't let political posts go up there. We don't let anybody, we don't let cussing. If you cuss, we take you down. And if you attack somebody, so there's some rules, and we get some people frustrated with the rules. We probably ban.
I see it. I'm a member of the group. Yeah, I see it, but I don't think I've ever.
Stuff we take down. Anyway, I thought, you know, this would be great, exciting. You know, hey, so I went over to this big field that's at a major intersection. I said, you know, And I built up the announcement, told people it was coming. I said, you know, Publix is coming in here. And I heard about it, first of all, through somebody who is a good friend of the owner of the property who just swore this happened. I thought, okay. And but I can't post it knowing that. But I got it verified from a county office. And I won't mention the county office, but they said, yes, Publix is coming in. So, well, the county office has verified it. I was double verified now. We'll announce it.
So there's probably hardly anybody that both is a member of that face group and other than our family members that both is a member of that Facebook group and listens to this podcast.
Probably so. Not too much. There's probably not too much overlap. There's a little bit, but not too much. And so you would have thought this, first of all, the thing lit up. There was over about 2,000 shares of this announcement.
I didn't pay attention to
any shares. That's what I mean. Over several days period of time, gained about 1,000 new people. You know, I mean, this went crazy. We don't have Publix. Publix is just now coming to Kentucky. I think Louisville either is getting one or just got their first Publix. And Publix is a big, if you don't know, it's a big, nice grocery store.
Yeah.
And they're all over the South. And they're moving up this way. And I like it. I'm a big fan of Publix. And so I made this announcement. Some people said, is this true and all that? Well, then WVLK,
local radio station,
you know, calls Publix. That's all they did. Of course, Publix, it's not official. They hadn't signed. So Publix, no, we're not coming. So they... Mm-hmm. So VLK put this announcement out, and they made me look like I totally made this up. So everybody's now hammering me on this my own site that I'm just doing this for attention. Well, then Fox 56, you know, did some investigating. They found out that it is possible it's coming. They found some things out. And then the Herald Leader did a great article about it.
Herald Leader being the local newspaper.
Local newspaper out of Lexington. There they had an aerial photo, and they said, well, while Publix wouldn't confirm it, they did say that that this land has been annexed. Or was being at that time being annexed by the city. Well, they don't annex a farm unless there's a reason to do that.
It is a prime location.
Oh, it is a killer location. And we found out this being annexed to be a shopping center with a grocery store. But nobody in the city will confirm this to me. And they're really upset with me for doing this. They're afraid maybe Publix won't like the publicity and pull out.
So who is it that's upset? Which, in Nicholasville?
Yes, the Nicholasville city. We'll say there's some city officials that are not happy with me.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yes, so the newspaper called me, and I did say to them, I said, you know, if I had to do over, I probably would have waited a little bit longer to make this announcement. And they said, well, can we quote you on this? I said, yeah, go ahead. So they quoted me that. I probably would have waited. But anyway, it is coming. It is going to happen, but, you know, there's not everybody believes it right now. So I'm just coming off of that. And then we wake up one more Sunday morning, and we notice that our telephone pole is knocked over.
Yeah, I haven't asked you about that.
It is broken in half, about a foot off the ground. The other half of the pole is about 15, 20 feet away. I mean, somebody I thought that I should find car parts out there. I mean, I thought, man, who gets a telephone pole and drives away? And so I just posted kind of a funny post. I said, you know, I just said, all right, fess up. Who out there broke my telephone, ran over my telephone pole? Well, then Fox 56, who monitors our site, saw that, and they saw how much action I got on this post. They said, well, we want to do a story on your telephone pole. I'm like, well, it must be a slow news day. You know, a telephone, broken telephone pole makes the news, you know. But at about the same time, the two brothers that are friends of ours lives across the street, and their cameras, they said, we think we might have this on video. And sure enough, they had a video of this truck running over this telephone pole. I mean, it didn't hardly even slow the truck down. So it's an amazing footage. This truck just blasts through this telephone pole.
But it wasn't enough to find the truck.
You just know it's a black truck. It looks like a pickup truck, but it could be a little bit bigger, but we couldn't see. So then Fox 56 says, well, we want to interview you about this. I'm like, you know, what am I going to say about it? So I said, well, I'm getting ready to take two of my granddaughters to see Jeff Foxworthy. I took, and so I said, you know, well, I said, we'll meet you over there and interview you in the parking lot at Emmanuel Baptist where Jeff Foxworthy was speaking. So I said, okay. And so sure enough, this anchor was there, you know, and she set the camera up and all that. And so then I saw a telephone. I said, well, it was really amazing. I said, this truck just came through, plowed on my telephone pole and all. And after I saw it, I thought, man, I look like the biggest country bumpkin in the world. I look like one of these guys from Kansas that talks about how a tornado just wiped out their trailer park or something. Yeah, it went through.
We'll tie this together. I think that was one of Jeff Foxworthy's lines, that if you've been on TV twice describing a tornado, then you might be a redneck. Yeah.
But I thought, I was a bumpkin.
So anyway, where can I go to see that video?
I've got it on my phone if you'd like to see it afterwards. You haven't seen the video of the news of them
interviewing you?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Who was it, Fox or 20?
Fox 56.
So was it on their website, too? Or is it on Facebook?
I don't know, but I... Yes, so a bunch of people in Nicholasville posted on Facebook.
Let me just try to find it on my own first. Okay,
but anyway, so it's been an eventful week. Let me say, two completely different things, in the media. So there you go.
But it's a okay. I've got a couple little things more serious here, or kind of substance. We got to break this. Yeah, now I forgot now who even said this. It's not original with me. Anyway. That the law is like, it's talking about the Mosaic law or that old covenant law. Law is like a six pack of Cokes. You cannot break out the ones you want at the store. It's all or none. It's all or none, pass or fail. So like if you go to the store and they got a pack of Cokes, you know, that are tied together, you know, like eight of them. You have to buy them all or you don't buy any of them. You look on your face. You're just kind of bewildered
and
all that.
I just don't think that's an analogy that's going to, you know, sweep the world.
But you see the, you know, I'm not saying it's sweeping the world. But
that's like.
But the idea that.
Well, you can say that about buying a bag of marshmallows. You know, you got to buy the whole bag. You can't pull a marshmallow out of the bag.
You do it your way. I'll do it my way.
Okay.
But the idea of law, it's you know, so yeah, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to try to get in good standing with God by keeping.
You got to keep it all.
Laws.
Yeah, yeah.
It is all or nothing, and it is pass or fail.
Is it James that says that? If you break one law, you're guilty of all.
One is broken law. But yeah, there's other stuff that kind of implies that. But the other thing.
It's true, though. It's a valid point. It's all or nothing. If you're going to go, if that's the route you're going to go, is you're going to use your performance, your goodness, your lack of sin to get your acceptance from God, then it's better be all or nothing. There's no grading on the curve, which is kind of how we think it ought to work. You know, it's kind of what people think. Well, as long as I get a passing grade, I'm okay with God. It does not work that way.
Well, thank you for validating that valid point.
I'm clarifying.
So, one other thing that this comes from Phelim Doherty, which I quote quite a bit, but he has a what he described Old Mother Hubbard message. And you remember Old Mother Hubbard?
I remember the name. I don't know
what was her problem. What was the problem?
She had? Lived in the shoe?
Well, there was a specific. I'm not sure.
Did she live in the shoe? I don't know. It's been a long time, Jeff.
But she had a cupboard. Remember that? Old Mother Hubbard had a cupboard. What was the problem with the cupboard? It was
bare.
Bare. Right. Oh, right.
Well, there you go.
It was. So she did not have anything in the cupboard. And so the point he makes is that, you know, we're supposed to, you know, love God. You got to love God more, Roger. We got to make sure you love God more. And he's basically saying, in our own flesh, that cupboard is bare. We do not have that love within us. And he illustrated a beautiful contrast between Peter and John. So Peter in the upper room basically says, you know, I don't think he uses the term, I love you, but he says, you know, I will not deny you. You know, everybody else, so he is determined. He's going to love Jesus, in effect. He's
like
going to be
Old Testament.
Committed.
Well, they did in the Old Testament, too.
We will serve him. We will do everything and all this. So Peter is really focused on, in a sense, Peter's focusing on loving Jesus. But John, on the other hand, never came across that way. How did John describe himself? The apostle whom
Jesus loved.
Whom Jesus loved. Yeah. So John focused more not on him trying to love Jesus, but what overwhelmed him was the fact that Jesus loved him. And at the cross, who was it that fled and denied Jesus? That was trying so hard to be committed to Jesus. The one that was still hanging around the cross till the very end, evidently, is the one whom Jesus loved.
And not only did Peter, you know, fall apart, a little girl confronts him, and he fell apart in front of a little girl. It's not like he was on
like a Roman soldier
holding a sword up to his neck and said, girl said, didn't you? I think I saw you with Jesus. No, wasn't me. So Peter, who was so brave and bold to declare his loyalty to Jesus, collapses in front of a little girl.
But it's a great illustration how you can have all the pressure in the world to try to motivate you to do better out of a sense of accomplishment, a sense of obligation, and it will eventually fail every time. But when a person knows that they are loved by God, by Jesus Christ, that transforms them. And that is far more fruitful than any of our determination or guilt-induced effort with that. So I thought that was good, though. So, do you have anything at all that's halfway meaningful for this podcast?
You know, I've got a couple of analogies. I don't know if I've said this before, but I read it again, and it just hit me for a second. But I probably have brought this up before. But, you know, occasionally you're reading stories about how they found these Japanese soldiers on islands, you know, after World War II, and they thought the war was still going on, and they were still willing to fight because they didn't know the war was over. And that's the way Christians are. You know, we don't know the battle's over. You know, Jesus won the victory, paid the full price for sin, and we're still going through things like there's been no victory. There's been no end to it. So anyway, the other thing I read too, and we mentioned this, and we talked a lot about this actually in the book, but it just kind of hit me again as I saw the phrase come up again, how we view Christianity not in the way of the cross, but in the way of a ladder. You know, that you climb this thing by, you know, with more Bible study, more prayer, more church attendance, more service, more sacrifice, more giving. You kind of go up this ladder. And the way we say it is, well, you get closer to God, which is not biblical. You're in Christ through grace, through what he's done for you. But I like the phrase. Who is it? Stephen, I forget to say, he's on Twitter a lot, but his phrase is shake the ladder.
You may have mentioned that a long time ago.
Yeah, and I really like that. I just think that is so cool. You know, that's really kind of what we do, hopefully, with the podcast. We shake the ladder.
Yeah.
But if some people see Christianity as if the symbol of Christianity were a ladder.
Yeah.
Well, we just do this. We do that. We keep getting a little closer to God.
So we've got a picture in our book. We've got a picture in the book of a church building instead of a steeple on top. It's a ladder where the steeple normally is.
And I think we talked about how you ought to just go ahead and wear a ladder on a chain instead of a cross.
I think we have a listener, a couple that I've come to know a little bit that lives not far from here, that read our book and now listen to our podcast. I think she actually had a necklace made like that.
Oh, like a ladder?
Yeah. Just as a conversation starter type of thing.
That's great.
Yeah, we could sell those. I bet we could sell those. We could make money off of merchandise here. We
could. Oh, goodness. Yes, I guess we could. And I think one of the things, too, is just realizing that nothing in the gospel is transactional.
Nothing. So explain that. What do you mean when you say
nothing is you do this for God, God does this for you. Nothing is transactional.
There's that verse toward the end of Romans 11.
It says all from God.
Yeah, and who God, that's yeah, something yeah, like, you yeah. know, there's nothing you can do for God to make him do something for you.
Right. Nothing's transactional. And once you get over that, once you realize that, I think it does kind of change things. It kind of makes you realize how amazing the good news of the gospel is.
And breathe a huge sigh of relief.
It's not like you're not doing enough or you can't do enough. It just doesn't work that way at all. It's just nothing is transactional.
I read a phrase, a friend of Facebook posted this, and it goes right along with what you're saying. It says, the secret to having it all is knowing you already do.
Yeah.
The secret to having it all is knowing you already do. And that is when you really start to see the gospel, the grace of God and what he has done not only for us, but in us and to us. It is incredible to realize that I don't have to strive or measure up to get anything more.
Yeah.
I already have it all. I mean, bless us with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
And I agree. Now, what is the thing that keeps people from living in the reality of that? What is it? I have a theory on this. Why is it we can't live in the reality that we do have it all, that Christ has paid for it all, nothing's transactional, it's all by grace, we're in Christ? Here's my theory, is that most people have multiple versions of themselves. We think of ourselves, well, yes, I'm a child of God, and yes, I'm not doing a very good job following Christ, and I'm a crummy husband, I'm a horrible dad, and we have all these multiple versions. There are a lot of competing versions of ourselves. We see ourselves, if you go to most believers and you say, now, do you really believe you're a child of God? Most of them would say, I do believe that. You know, I do believe that. Are you saved by grace? Yeah. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? Oh, yeah. They believe that version. The problem is they just have a lot of other versions also.
Spiritual bipolar.
Yeah, they're spiritual bipolar. That's a good way to say it. They just have multiple versions of themselves. And I think that's probably what the scriptures talks about, being double-minded.
I was going to say that the James 1 verse, that came to my mind.
We see ourselves different ways. We have different versions.
And that's the mixed gospel.
It's the mixed gospel. But it's even like, to me, when you say mixed gospel, you're kind of seeing it as, well, what I've got to do to add to what Christ has done, which is a mixed gospel. But this is when you turn it toward yourself and you realize, or you begin to see yourself as somebody who's, you know, one day we're kind of in Christ, the next day I'm just kind of struggling and I'm not living up, and we just have multiple versions of ourselves. And I think it's not a sin problem, it's an identity problem.
I heard this just on the way home. This is kind of fresh in mind. Listening to somebody else's podcast, the Growing in Grace podcast. Mm-hmm. Two guys do a great job on that, listening to that. And so a shout out to them. But they were one of them was quoting from Romans 8:1. You know, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then some manuscripts, not all, but add, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Right.
So, okay, there's no condemnation. But then it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
See, that's just used to really throw me off.
Yeah.
Now, when you get that,
most people read that as, okay, who do not walk according to the flesh, well, that means sinning.
Right.
So, according to the Spirit, that means not sinning. So, the good news is,
yeah,
there's no condemnation if you don't sin.
Right. That's the way.
That's essentially how many people read it.
If you interpret flesh in the Bible that way, that's kind of what that verse means. But that's not what flesh means in the Bible. We've talked about this. I think we talked about this in the book, that flesh just means human effort. We don't walk by our efforts.
So if I don't think I have sinned and I'm counting on that to keep me from being condemned, then that's
flesh.
That's the flesh. Yeah, I'm trying to. So the Spirit just means we realize we can't do anything. It's walking according to the Spirit. And so, I mean, it's condemnation that's not real anyway, you know, if we're in Christ. And so,
I don't think you can really understand walking in the Spirit until you understand what the flesh is. When you understand the flesh is the counterpart of that, the opposite of that, and that flesh means human effort, my ability to try harder. That's the best way I know to say flesh, my ability to try harder. When you give up on that, that's when the Holy Spirit within you kind of takes over, and that's when the Holy Spirit, I think, becomes a little more real. That's when you're walking in the flesh. And so when you have an approach to God that's by faith, based on His grace, I'm giving up on trying to do any of this myself, I think that then it's very easy then to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's kind of all you got left.
One of the phrases I heard back to when I went to the Network 220 a while back, the Hebrews 5:13 talks about the difference between milk and solid food. And it says on milk, still an infant not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness.
Yeah.
So an example of milk or an infant is when we're not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. And that's talking about that we are righteous in Christ, that Christ's righteousness in ours. And so that's a very fundamental, basic thing to move beyond.
Yeah,
so
that is
kind of to build on with
that. Yeah, that's good.
I heard the phrase the lie of lack a couple times back when I went to that conference too. And I thought that's a good reminder.
Explain that. What does that
mean? The lie of lack, L-A-C-K. That, and there
I don't know how to spell it, Jeff. Well, I wasn't sure I knew how you were using the term. Okay.
So the lie of lack. That whenever we hear a teaching or a sermon or something, that implies you're lacking something. You're not broken enough, Roger. You're not this enough. You're not that enough. You're not committed enough.
Yeah.
That there's a lack in you. That's a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, Colossians 2, you are complete in Him. And, you know, even though we've known this and we've talked about it, I mean, it's becoming more and more meaningful to me, and I'm seeing more and more the significance of how life-changing it is when a believer realizes who they are.
Right.
That Christ is their life. They are part of His body. My hand is part of my body. It's not in competition with my body. It can't get any closer to me than it already is.
Right. We have an identity. It's an identity crisis, not a sin problem.
Yes.
And we've made everything a sin problem. We try to do sin management, and sin is not the issue. The real issue is identity. We're not convinced of our identity. There again, like, we have multiple versions of ourselves. And, you know, if you don't know who you are in Christ, then you're going to have some struggles. So, and I think, too, as you said earlier, is we all tend to look at what we think is missing. Well, this is missing. I'm not doing this enough. We always kind of focus on, well, I mean, you can even have a lot of things going relatively well. Maybe your prayer's going okay, and maybe you're, I don't know, maybe whatever, you're active and whatever. But if you think, well, but I'm not doing this, I don't have a good
back to the introspective view. Thing.
Right, it's introspection, exactly right. I don't give enough, you know, maybe I don't serve enough. The devil is so good at making you focus on that part of your life that you're not doing quite right and making that your reason for not believing that God has already accepted you, already forgiven you, already taken you in, you are His.
And to be clear, we are huge fans of living a life that reflects God's righteousness and God's character and the fruit of the Spirit being expressed through our life. So it's not that we don't care about that. It's not that we don't desire that for ourselves or others. We just know that the introspection does nothing to accomplish that, nothing to get us there. It's the law brings out the sin. The law, and that's essentially law, does not get us there. That what does produce that spirit, that fruit, is when we do relax and we trust and we rest in that, then that produces that
fruit.
And
we believe that's what produced the fruit. The apple tree doesn't produce fruit because it sits around thinking, okay, Am I going to produce a fruit, an apple on this limb? Is this limb going to be okay? Is my bark okay? Are my roots deep enough? You know, it's the introspection doesn't do it. It's the life in the tree that produces the fruit.
That'd make a good little drama illustration sometime. You have a tree there, and you come out and just yell at it. Come on, tree, get through there. Okay. That might work. Anyway.
Well, you never know. So anyway, but it's all about the fruit that God produces in you.
You have another quote you were going to mention?
Oh, I have a quote. Yes, I have an outgoing quote. I do. All right. Martin Luther, this is a pretty short quote. He just says, pray and let God worry.
Pray and let God worry?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's pretty good.